Welcome to another episode of White Girl Squee. I'm your host, Enda, also known as Enda's Corner at Twitter.
And I am Dee Dee, also known as Dust Daughter on Twitter.
You can contact the podcast at twitter.com at Black Girl Squee or by email at blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. We also have a Tumblr account at blackgirlsquee@tumblr.com. And before we get started, we have a few housekeeping items. We are usually not safe for work because we swear a lot. We also have a spoiler policy, meaning we spoil shit, so if we talk about something you haven't seen, you may want to come back to us later after you've already seen it. And we also sometimes talk about dicks.
And for a long time.
Our listeners seem to like that. And since we do talk about dicks, I have to say I made a promise to our friend at Tumblr, Jack Burton, said I would try to work in the word, was it cocking? What did she call it? It was a
Dicknado.
Dicknado. And I lost it. What was the other? It was a cock something. Cock-a-cane.
Oh no.
Thank you, Jack Burton says. I just love that all our friends are just as ain't shit as we are.
And she is the wordsmith, so.
Yes, she
if
is.
If you hear new words, they would come from her.
Okay. All right. Speaking of which, we did get some feedback for our last episode. Our first item in feedback is from me at MimXHuge. I think that's how I would pronounce that. And she said, I looked for photos referenced in your latest DWIDP segment, and I believe Tom's message to us is that he loves petting pussy.
So, Mee's head is right where we're at, which is deep in the gutter. So, we had no choice but to agree, because that's where our thinking was going. Mee also said, I'm glad in your newest episode you mentioned Cock Lighthouse. I'd like to share with you. Pau Ayer's term, sea worm.
And I also just want to mention, Pa is also one of the hosts of Who Chim with Me, so that's who we're working with, y'all.
Yes, so join the community of people who ain't shit, and, listen to both podcasts.
Yes, okay. Also, in reference to our talking about the Netflix and chill list, she also says that she adores the movie In the Mood for Love. Yeah, we do too. I mean, I know I talk about how sad it is, but it is kind of like a perfect film. If you've never seen it, definitely. But, be prepared. That's all I'm saying.
And with regard to our impromptu How to Get Away with Murder recap and summary, K-Rage said she's got her ex-girlfriend defending her ex-boyfriend for her husband's murder. Harem of murderers on speed dial. This was my favorite summary. This conversation is so awesome. Well, good, because we're planning on doing another one this episode, because we have to talk about the last two episodes of this really confusing show.
Yeah, because if you know what's going on, then you're doing better than I am.
Basically.
Right.
If you can work out a diagram or some flow charts, that would be much appreciated. Send it at Black Girl Squee.
All right, so thank you very much for the feedback. Remember, you can add us at Black Girl Squee on Twitter, or email us at blackgirlsquee@gmail.com if you want to give us feedback.
Or leave a review on iTunes. We'd love that, too.
Yeah, iTunes reviews are great. Okay. So, on to Squeeworthy news. First thing, we have two Empire writers are going to write a movie about the mother of hip-hop, Sylvia Robinson. This comes from a report from the Hollywood Reporter. And those of you who don't know who Sylvia Robinson is, she created Sugar Hill Records back in the day. That was like the late 70s and, you know, the Sugar Hill Gang, Rapper's Delight, which is pretty much the first rap album to hit the mainstream. That comes from her work. Sylvia Robinson, she was also part of a duo called Sylvia and Mickey. I think it was in the 60s back in the day, and they have this song that you'll hear every once in a while. It's called Love is Strange. You should, you know, look it up on YouTube and listen to it. You'll know exactly what it is when you hear it. But anyway, according to the Hollywood Reporter, Carlito Rodriguez and Malcolm Spellman, the writers on the Fox series Empire, have been tapped to tell another music story. This one centered on the late Sugar Hill Records co-founder Sylvia Robinson, who is an influential rap pioneer and producer known as the mother of hip-hop. Right now, there's not a title for the project. They're just kind of riding on the success of Empire and also Straight Outta Compton. So we'll have to see where this goes.
I thought it was funny that Warner Brothers bought this project weeks after Straight Outta Compton.
Yes.
went number one.
And, yes.
Warner Brothers declined to make Straight Outta Compton. And ended up being a big hit for Universal.
Yep.
So, just grasping.
Yeah, I know. And plus, you know, because Straight Outta Compton got a lot of criticism for the way women are treated in that film. And, you know, for not really, and kind of ignoring women's experiences in hip-hop with that. And so, they go to the top woman ever, you know, in, you know, the rap game. And, you know, they want to see if they can make this a success. So, Yeah, I'm trying not to judge right now because, you know, it's like I haven't seen Straight Outta Compton and I'm not as into Empire as, you know, I am everything, but I'm kind of hoping, I mean, especially since this looks like it's going to be a woman-centered story, they don't make it all soapy and too overly melodramatic, like, because, I mean, I don't want to see that in a studio film, you know, fine for TV movies and TV shows and things like that, I can handle that, but I don't want to see it in a film, in a...
Well, they said that this film is pitched to be more like American Hustle than an actual music biopic. So it's going to focus mostly on the chase to release the first rap record and then, I guess, make the first rap hit. So it'll be focused more on the work than on her life and story and everything like that. So.
See, now I'm really not excited about this now. I mean, tell us Sylvia's story. Hell, if you don't want to do it, get a woman to do it.
Yeah, that was my biggest thing, because I'm all about hearing about the work and watching people work, but kind of was hoping that of all the writers on Empire, there would be some women that wanted to write on this. But maybe they'll bring some in later. I don't know. So we'll see. You know, right now it just got bought. So
yeah. I mean, I'm skeptic, but I'm gonna try to remain hopeful.
We'll see. So the next piece of news. It's that Laverne Cox is going to lead Fox's movie remake of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. She's going to play the iconic character Dr. Frankenfurter. And this is a great role for her and also for, you know, just trans visibility in general. The article that I read announcing this casting made an interesting comment about whether or not the script will be updated to more trans friendly or politically correct terms. I don't know will Laverne actually sing or actually want to sing Sweet Transvestite, or would she want to use some other modern and non-offensive terms?
Yeah, that's actually what I was really kind of concerned about, like, because, I mean, Sweet Transvestite is really kind of this iconic focal point of the whole film, but I'm like, with Laverne playing, I mean, I know everyone's saying is that, you know, Frankenfurter is an alien, but I'm like, still, Laverne Cox is a trans woman, and so I'm like, the only way I kind of see that working is if she's in male drag, you know? But I'm like, I don't know if that's, you know, a triggering thing. I don't know if, you know, that's, I don't know if, you know, well, like I said, I don't know if that's triggering or anything like that, you know, for her. So I'm not sure how it would work out. But thing is, I know she's smart and savvy. So I'm like figuring she already has an idea of what's going to, you know, happen with this. So I'm kind of trusting her, you know, with this, you know, that this is going to work.
We'll see. She's lined up a lot of different roles. I think she had a CBS series as well.
Yeah.
That's going to be coming up. So I'm wondering what's going to happen with her character on Orange is the New Black. Because she's got all these other jobs in the pipeline. And what about that first job? So.
Yeah, but you know, I think series for Netflix series, they probably do like the same as they would with the movie and like spend maybe like 5 or 6 weeks shooting, because they do all of it at once. You know, there's not like we have to shoot this episode today and shoot this episode, you know, 2 weeks from now or whatever like that. So I'm figuring, excuse me, that her time is probably compartmentalized, you know, in that way. Like, okay, well, I have this time to schedule, you know, to shoot Orange is the New Black, and then if, you know, the CBS series is working, then, you know, then that's probably a longer time frame. And yeah, Rocky Horror is going to be a film, so yeah, maybe a few weeks of shooting that too. I don't know how long like rehearsals and things like that work, but yeah, I mean, yeah, it is a lot of time investment, plus she does a lot of activist work and stuff like that too. So
get them checks, girl.
Yeah, I know. Laverne, busy.
Yes.
I ain't mad.
Good.
I ain't mad, girl.
So, right. To this news, we want to give a huge squeeze. That's awesome. Keep working.
All right. Next in our squee-worthy news, Misty Copeland and Tracy Oliver, who was a writer for Awkward Black Girl, a new Fox Dance series. And let's see. As Doug said, right now the show doesn't have a title, but what it says, the description here says it's going to follow a group of young, diverse dancers, all competing for spots at a top ballet company.
Okay. So what was that movie back in the day with Zoe Saldana playing a ballerina? Oh my gosh.
Center Stage.
This article says it's going to be Black Swan meets Mozart in the Jungle, but I'm thinking it's going to be more like City Stage.
Yeah, so I'm like,
Center Stage.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen that movie. It is like, it's kind of one of those cult hits, but I kind of like it, even though it's a bit cheesy. But, I mean, I don't know, but, yeah, so I'm wondering if Misty Copeland will actually be in the show, or if she's just going to be the one developing it, but, you know.
I think she's probably just going to be behind the scenes. I don't think she has time.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a principal dancer at the American Ballet Theater. She don't have time to be in a show every week.
Yeah. You know, well, like we said here, I mean, there are two women of color, well, I'm assuming two black women, who are behind this, and that's actually pretty, you know, thrilling, especially, you know, with this being about ballet, because it's like, the only time I can remember seeing black ballerinas are in these one roles, like Zoe Saldana and Center Stage, and I mean, I can't really think of anything else with black women in ballet in it. But I don't know about with this show, because they don't say anything like who's going to be, because I'm thinking they're probably just gonna do like an open audition and, you know, choose whoever they want to see who's going to compete, or they're going to actually find people they think going to compete. But they say young, diverse dancers. That's, I'm kind of looking at that like maybe that's going to be code for a couple of token people of color. And I'm really hoping it doesn't happen that way. So I'd love to see like mostly people of color in this.
We'll see, but I think this is just great for Misty, and she continues to find new ways to develop a new fan base for ballet and increase and diversify the fan base for ballet.
Yeah, exactly.
This is just another brilliant move by her.
Yes, it is.
So, to Misty and Tracy, we give a big hearty squee!
Okay, so in our last in squeeworthy news, have you seen that series Chewing Gum?
No, I haven't.
Okay. It is a British comedy series, and I've only seen like 3 episodes of it. I think only 3 have been released right now, but I love it. I love this show to death. It has a dark-skinned black woman in the lead. Her name is Michaela Cole. She is adorable. I mean, she is perfect. I love her in this show. It makes fun of, you know, sex, religion, pop culture, and her character, Tracy, she just has this cutest obsession with Beyonce, and I just find it hilarious. She puts Beyonce on the same level as Jesus, and she prays to both of them. It is so funny, and it's like, in these episodes, the first few episodes you see, it actually, it's pretty, I hate to use the word diverse, but it is, you know, more focused on, you know, like this, this group of people that are within her, circle, like these, she looks like the place she lives in, looks like would be the equivalent of housing projects here in the States. But I don't know what that type of development is called over there in England. But, you know, it's urban. You know, when it starts out, she has this boyfriend, but the boyfriend is really, really, really heavily Christian. But she wants to, you know, have sex with him and move on to that part of the relationship, but he doesn't want to. And she finds out later that it's not all about him being Christian, the reason why he doesn't want to sleep with her. But then I think she's finally dumped him, and she has a new boyfriend now, and all of these things that are happening, you know, she's trying to get, you know, a better job because, you know, she works at a corner store right now and all. And I mean, but if you see the show, her comic timing is perfect. She is just insanely funny, and you know, like I said, Michaela Cole is just the best. I mean, my description is not doing the show any justice, so I need it to come to like Netflix, Hulu, you know, PBS, you know, something that's just going to give, you know, people to the States access to the show, because I had to access it through my own means and ways, and I won't say what those are. But if you've never seen Chewing Gum, look it up, you know, try to find it somewhere, you know, you gotta hook up from somewhere, you know, watch this show.
All right, and so for Chewing Gum and Michaela Cole, we'll give a big squeeze.
Watch Chewing Gum.
Okay. Well, you'll have to give me them links off air.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So, our main topic today, we're going to talk about Black Women in Web Series. Yay. Okay, so as you know, most of you may know, this past week, the show Misspelled, you know, came back, and that actually features 5 women of color in the lead. And I thought, looking at this, we can talk a little bit about a few of our favorite web series and some ones that, you know, you should get to know better. And because web series are really kind of this area where Black women are just, you know, telling, you know, really great, compelling stories. And as you can see with, you know, Issa Rae, Awkward Black Girl, it led to, you know, all these development deals and things like that she's getting, and, you know, she's moved on to HBO. So want to talk today about a few of the shows we think are really, really good, and then we can move on from there. So, which one do we want to talk about first?
Well, the first one I saw was Aki and Saltfish.
Yay!
Which was a five-part plus a little movie web series directed by Cecile Emike. Mm-hmm. And it features two women who, two friends who live together, Rachel and... What's the other girl's name? I forgot the other girl's name. But, they live together, and it's basically just comic hijinks and, mm-hmm. you know, little make, you know, just arguments over nothing.
Yes.
And stuff like that, and just rants and people ranting. One of the friends just likes to get their rant on and is kind of dramatic about everything, so... Mm-hmm. It's just kind of slice of life comedy.
Yes.
Just about two women who are, you know, share the same space.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
Yeah. I think my favorite episode of that, though, is the interview, because it's only like 5 minutes long, but it's like, you know, she's not going to get to the interview, but it's I thought it was hilarious because she's trying to get her friend to smell her breath, make sure her breath is okay for the interview. And it's so funny because at the end, yeah, she finally does smell her breath, and she's like, "Oh, that is so nice. How did she?"
It's like you used Febreze as mouthwash or something like that. And I was like, "Okay, girl." She goes from one extreme to the other.
I know. Thing. Absolutely no, I'm not gonna spare your breath. Like, oh wow.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you need that friend in your life though.
Oh gosh. So
I also wanted to mention, like, Aki and Saltfish, that's actually one of the only other like series I've seen with like black women in a lead, and like, and it's kinda has that British wit that I love. The same, you know, that I was trying to describe with chewing gum. I mean, you don't really see black women in too many, like, in, especially in leads in these British series. I was kind of going off about that on Twitter a while ago, but yeah, definitely, if you haven't seen Aki and Saltfish, it's on YouTube. You know, watch it on YouTube.
And we'll link to it in the show notes. They also have their own site, akiandsaltfish.co.uk. But if you see the web series on YouTube, they'll refer you to that site as well. So the next web series we want to talk about is Misspelled, and I really enjoyed this one a lot. It's about five witches who are still trying to figure out their powers. And they started figuring it out when one of them, Gladys, accidentally kills her boyfriend. And they try to bring him back to life. And the results are... The jury's out on whether they actually brought him back to life or some evil doppelganger. It was interesting because you get to see all these different personalities, and it's very well acted.
Yes.
And, it just makes you want to see more.
Yes. Yeah, and like we said earlier, they're all five are women of color, and like three or four of them are also plus size, you know? You know, these are like, they look like women I'd hang out with, or, you know, I do hang out with, you know, anyways, and you know, they're just adorable. They are so adorable.
Gladys is kind of mean, though.
Yes, she is. But
I don't
want
to get her angry.
Yeah, that's true. But it's like still, it's like, I love watching them interact with each other, though. But it's like, you kind of like well, does she really hate her, or, you know, because it's like sometimes it does feel like a couple of them only tolerate each other because they've realized they're witches and they're the same.
And they're more powerful together than apart.
Yeah, but I actually kind of like that, you know, because it kind of makes it, you know, a bit more realistic. Like, you're not going to always like this person, you know, not everybody's going to always be nice, but it's like, the show is so hilarious. The show is so funny.
So definitely check out Misspelled. If you like Charmed, if you liked Practical Magic, anything regarding witches, and wanted to see more Women of Color in those kind of situations, then definitely check out Misspelled.
Yes, definitely.
And now we'll move on to Polyglot, which is a series by Amelia Umhiri, which follows a woman as she travels throughout Europe, an African woman as she travels throughout Europe, trying to make a name for herself as a poet and a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
There's only two episodes.
Yeah.
I'm working on a third now.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting. The second episode is really poignant.
Yes.
It gets into, you know, her background and the background of people like her who have come to Europe trying to, you know, better themselves and, you know, had their, you know, credentials kind of dismissed.
Right.
And have to find new avenues of making a living because people don't want to acknowledge their degrees and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, and just the way that families get scattered when they try to leave their home countries in Africa. Seems like they were trying to get away from something in their home countries. Amelia's character doesn't want to talk about where her parents are, so I'm getting the feeling that they aren't with us anymore. And it might be because of what happened in her home country of Rwanda. It's very subtle. It's, you know, kudos to the writing for a web series that they handled it that subtly, and you kind of have to figure things out through context clues and things like that. Yeah. So, and we also get to see, you know, somebody doing hair, you know, greasing the scalp, parting it, and all that good stuff. All this hair care.
Yeah.
She even watches a YouTube video on how to. do her hair.
I love that scene. Oh, I love that scene so much. I mean, it's just like you can recall, you know, when you were a little girl or whatever, you know, and you sat between somebody's legs while they did your hair like that. And I mean, and
yeah,
it's,
don't move.
Yeah, yeah. So, and, oh my God, that scene is just so beautiful.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of that scene in How to Get Away with Murder last season.
Yes.
But this was even better because it was even longer and you got to see, you know, how much work goes into it.
Yes.
And so definitely check out Polyglot, and that the third episode looks like it's going to be really good. It's going to focus on some other rappers.
Yeah.
And whatever beat they were playing behind that episode 3 trailer was kind of fire, so
yeah.
I can't wait to hear the full song.
Yeah, I know.
So, Polyglot, Amelia Umhiri, we'll have a link in the show notes, but it's just under her her web channel, under her name. So now we'll get to Reagan Gomez Preston Surviving.
Yes.
Which is kind of like a zombie apocalypse story featuring women of color.
Yes.
And very exciting so far. I think we have 3 episodes.
Yeah, there are three episodes in, I think. She drops the series every Tuesday.
And always on a cliffhanger that leaves you wanting more. But it follows a doctor, Dr. Robinson, and her sister as they try to figure out how to survive in a zombie apocalypse. And I'm kind of interested in seeing how their mythology develops and how their zombies might differ from the ones on The Walking Dead or the ones on iZombie or other zombie shows that we see. So I wonder if hers will be different or they will follow one of those other shows' rules.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, well, especially with the title and, you know, the flashbacks with, you know, when she's little with her dad, are we going to actually get to see her having to go out and, you know, survive? But
I think so, because it's wild that he was prepping her for this. And I'm like, did he already know?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
What's his deal?
That's exactly what I was wondering, because he told her exactly what to do just in case. Well, I think his words were just in case anything goes down. But I'm like, did he kind of know?
Yeah, is he a doctor just like her?
Yeah.
What is the meaning behind that tattoo that she has on her neck?
Yeah.
I noticed the patient looking at it in the first episode. Does that have something to do with the whole story? I wonder, you know, if her dad was a doctor too, and he was involved in whatever caused this zombie thing to happen, then, you know.
Yeah.
That'll be an interesting wrinkle.
Yeah, I really want to know what's going on with the dad, because I'm like, he knew too much way before. I mean, like, this was years before, you know, it actually happened that he's training her.
Mm-hmm. She was a little bitty girl.
Yeah.
All she wanted to do was go to the skating rink, but he's out there teaching her how to shoot bows and arrows and stuff.
Yeah. I'm like, see, now I gotta find out, because
come on, episode 4. Come on.
Right. Okay.
And if you want to donate to make sure that we keep getting episodes, go to ReggieandGomez.com and hit that donate button.
Yep.
You know.
Yep, she'll tell you every time.
Yeah, every time. She'll tell you every time. If you want more, hit that donate button. So, the last one we want to talk about right now is CW Seeds Vixen.
Ooh.
And it's different from the other series that we talked about in that it's not live action. It's animated. And hopefully will lead to bigger and better things for the character. It's animated instead of live action, and hopefully will lead to bigger and better things for the character, because Vixen is more powerful than Arrow and the Flash combined, and she's a lot cooler.
Yep.
And I don't see why she doesn't have her own show on the CW instead of 4 or 5 minutes of animation
on
CW Seed.
Exactly. Yeah, there are only 6 episodes. Mm-hmm. And neither one is more than 5 minutes long, and so including credits with each episode, the whole thing doesn't even last half an hour, so it's like we got maybe one episode for, you know, this, you know, whole entire run, and I'm like, it's kind of irritating, because it feels like they were like, okay, well, we'll give this a test run and see if we can get, you know, an animated series. I'm like, they should have known, you know, when everybody got excited, you know, that when the series was announced, they had a base for this, you know? And the series really is pretty good. The series is good, you know?
Yeah. Did they focus group The Flash and Arrow this hard? I mean, I want to know. This is wild. They're being very, very tentative with this character, and it makes me mad. You see the success of all these shows led by Black women, but they're really being very tentative about this. And I'm really hoping that it'll be live action, because Megalyn Echinwoke deserves to be on the screen.
Yeah.
And she did a great job voicing Mary McCabe slash Vixen, and she'd do an even better job portraying her on the TV. So she really needs her own live action show.
Yeah,
that would be my show.
I know. And if for some reason you still just cannot bring yourself to do a live action film with a black, show with a black woman, I mean, this show gives me all kinds of like Static Shock vibes, and I loved Static Shock when that was on. I'm like, look, you know the audience is here. People were really excited to, you know, live tweet it, and then found out it was only 5 minutes, and so then they just started having discussions afterwards. I'm like, your audience is here. Your audience wants this. Make a damn show.
I know. But I don't know. It just seems like it's hard. It's harder for black women in sci-fi or genre TV than it is for straight-ahead dramas. But I mean, look at my beloved Minority Report. They won't let it live. They won't let it cook.
The thing is, though, we can talk about this later, too, but it's just now starting to, you know, just really get its legs. I mean, we're finding out about Laura's family, you know, and it's like, you know, and plus I just kind of like that, you know, you have the one evil cog, precog, and the other two. One's kind of shady, but, you know, he'll eventually do the right thing by his twin, and the other one is working with Laura. I mean, I kind of love that premise of that. And I'm like, you know what? Give this show time, you know, to get its legs, and, you know, give it time to let it be great. You know, maybe it wasn't like a hit right out the gate, but you know what? Give it some time. You know? I mean, it's starting to evolve nicely, and I'm really starting to like it. So.
And it's giving me, it has a little bit of an Afrofuturistic vibe. I mean, I have black people in the future doing things, and I really like this show.
Yeah.
I need it to stay around.
Yeah.
Especially after what they did to me on Almost Human. They need to give me this. Just give me this.
I know.
Damn Fox.
I know. But if you want to see Vixen, go download the CW Seed app on whatever your device is. Download that. And you can also watch Almost Human on that app, too.
That's cold. That's cold-blooded.
It is. But, you know, like, relive the memory. But CW Seed as Almost Human.
That's weird, because it was a Fox show.
I know. I don't know how they acquired it, but they did.
That's messed up.
Yeah.
Well, if Fox dumps my show, I need somebody to pick it up, like Netflix or Hulu or somebody to pick it up, because this is good.
You need to pick up Almost Human, too. It's not too late. You can revive it. They revive series all the time.
Making good in yoga pants. That's all I'm
saying. Okay, can I just say, though, am I the only one who ships Laura and Akilah?
No.
Okay.
There's blogs. Okay. There's a blog called Laura Akilah.
Oh, there is?
Yeah, on Tumblr. Yeah.
Oh, okay, because I didn't know. Because I cannot be the only one who sees that.
No. You're a skipper on the ship, SS Laura Akilah.
Okay, I'm like, okay, y'all not seeing these two? Because there's, okay.
And we finally found out what the marks on Akilah's face were. They're tattoos to circumvent facial recognition scanners. Ooh. So.
Oh my God, I love her.
Yep.
Damn. Ooh.
See, so she's the tech person. And she's the tech person that scans everybody else. Yes.
And knows how to see now I'm really like, okay, Fox, if you fuck this up, I'm gonna come there.
Thank you for getting on the train. It was a little late, but thank you for getting on the train.
No. I've been kind of just waiting because, like, I needed this show to have time. Like, okay, I'm kind of liking this, but the last episode they aired, I'm like, yeah, give this show some damn time.
So, Anyway.
Okay.
They gonna let Scream Queens prosper, but
I've never watched that.
Exactly, I have no interest in that crap. But whatever.
Okay, but I just wanted to say before we moved on from the web series, Cicely Amike, she also has a documentary series on YouTube as well. The first one she did was called Strolling, and she's looking at Afro Europeans in Britain. And she has like four different series of these, because that one takes place in England. There's also one in France. There's one in the Netherlands, and there's now one in Italy. So she's looking at all types of different Afro-Europeans, and they're all called different things. But the thing is, my pronunciation sucks, and I don't know. I really don't want to fuck up the pronunciation on any of these. But I'll just say that the one in France starts with an F, the Dutch one starts with a W, and the Italian one starts with a P, but I think they all mean strolling in their respective languages. So.
All right.
Okay.
So it's great that so many women are finding the means to create their own web series and tell their own stories.
Yes.
Instead of waiting for somebody to, water it down and tell it for us.
Yeah.
So, to all these ladies, we give a big
Yeah, check out these series.
Yeah. So, How to Get Away with Murder.
Whew.
These last two eps are some... What is this show? The show.
I don't know. I don't know. It's like... I don't know.
It's like everybody's playing a different game.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a different con on each other, and it's just... It's getting confusing now.
Yeah.
Now Nate's wife... I don't know... Was she serious, or was she testing Annalise?
I don't know. That would be really...
Or was she trying to, like, get her in trouble... the way that she got Nate in trouble.
I was wondering, was that something? Because I felt like she was being set up. I'm like, I really just felt like she was being set up for something, but she didn't fall for it.
No.
I'm like, thing is, though, I don't know if Nate's wife will be in it with him, or if she's in it with somebody else, or if she just wants revenge.
Yeah, she might be in it. So, yeah, I don't even know anymore. It's like everybody's running games on people, and I can't keep track. I need a chart. I need a flow chart.
Yeah, because it's like Bonnie. I don't know what's up with Bonnie anymore. And I'm like,
why?
Oh,
she's copping to a murder she didn't even do.
But see, I was wondering why she did that. But I'm like, I think Annalise made her do it, because Annalise already knows. Annalise already knew that Asher was about to, you know, turn them in. But, well, they all knew. But I'm like, how did Bonnie do that on her own, then go to Annalise, or did Annalise make her do this? I'm like,
ooh. Well, if Annalise made her do it, there would be no reason for that scene where, you know, Bonnie's in front of Annalise saying, you know, I didn't have time. I had to do it.
Oh yeah.
And then Annalise said, if you say one more, there's nothing else you can say that will make me hate you any less. Or I was like, okay, damn.
Oh, wait. Is Bonnie trying to get Annalise forgiveness again? Oh, my God.
She's trying to get something. Pat on the back, a cookie, whatever.
Bonnie just has an obsession with Annalise.
Yeah. And Annalise kind of exploits it and doesn't, because she doesn't see how far it goes.
Yeah.
I think. How can she not see? I don't know. She's so clear-eyed about a lot of things that are going on, but how she can't see.
Yeah, but I think with Bonnie, spoiler alert, Manel, because at the end of the last show, we find out Bonnie was molested as a kid. Now, I know a lot of people are rolling their eyes at that, but I'm thinking that if they write this correctly, it can work. Because to me, that would explain why Annalise kind of keeps Bonnie around and why she is a bit protective of her and keeps her in that circle, because she understands. And so, I mean, I know everyone, you know, hates that, you know, kind of trope of coming from trauma and ending up doing, you know, horrible things, or, you know, just having, you know, these kind of types of complexes that Bonnie has, but it would make sense why she and Annalise, you know, have each other like the way they do. See, I don't know. Thing is, though, I don't know if Bonnie knows what happened to Annalise. That's, you know, what's confusing me right now. But in this way, I can see, since Annalise knows what happened to Bonnie, and she has, like, this videotaped evidence of what was happening to her, why she won't throw Bonnie away.
And Bonnie said in a previous episode that, you know, Annalise saved her. And, you know, Annalise doesn't want to let her forget it, that, you know, that she saved Bonnie.
Yeah.
So there's a whole lot of hero worship going on and all kinds of other stuff.
And also, it's like they were both in love with the same guy, and she, maybe that's kind of one way that Bonnie is understanding Annalise, because they were both manipulated by Sam.
I don't think Bonnie was ever in love with Sam.
I don't know if she was in love, but she kind of did have this attachment to him. She did, because remember when she doesn't stop him when he makes a move on her, and it's like, I don't know, maybe she could have froze, because, you know, she's been through that scenario, and, you know, but I don't know, but I think somewhere with him, you know, doing his dirt the way he did, that's kind of one way they understand each other.
He probably tried to manipulate them both, but I think I think Bonnie only ever had eyes for Annalise. I mean, this whole awkward sex thing with Asher is just, I don't know. I really see him as her beard.
Wow.
I just don't. There's a reason why it was so awkward at first. Because I don't think this woman has had much or any sex with a dude.
I think with Asher, too, it's also convenience. He was convenient.
Convenient dick. Okay.
Yeah. Like, why not? He's here. Why the fuck not? You know?
In case of emergency.
Yeah. But, okay, yeah. So, Bonnie and that old girl. Girl, girl, girl. We are about to get some fan fiction out of nowhere, but we're about to get it.
Laurel and Michaela is almost canon. Just saying.
That's why we're about to get the fan fiction.
Yep.
Because it's like, wait a minute, which one of them mentioned an orgy? Because, like, if we're going to go to jail,
Connor.
Of course it was Connor. And then, but it was so funny because Michaela thought she was about to, you know, get a zinger. Oh, what, you gotta help me with that? He was like, I'm willing to try. I'm like, ooh. And then Laurel was like,
She's mine.
I'm like, holy shit, they all wanna fuck Michaela.
Fic writers just pumped their fists in the air. So many fic writers just did that.
Wait a minute, I just say how happy I am that it's Michaela that everybody is pointing at. Nah, I'm sleeping with her. No, I got it. No, me. No.
Look at her.
I'm just...
I don't know why Wes is, like, not trying to get in on this, but he's... Wes is... He's trying to run all these games, trying to think he's Annalise Jr. or something like that, but he is not, because Levi is a loose cannon, and I think Annalise and Frank set him up to get arrested just to get him out of the way.
Oh, yeah.
Where did that pile of money come from, though?
I don't know. See, let me tell you this. Frank is now... my all-time favorite goon.
Oh, God.
Fr- Frank is, we can talk about him and his beard later, but Frank is the greatest. Because I'm like, cause as soon as, you know, you saw that cocaine or whatever, you know, meth in Levi's trunk, I'm like, Frank went to work. And I'm like, plus also, it's like they said, he's smarter than that. You know, he's not going to leave, you know, a whole body, you know, in a suitcase somewhere for somebody to find. You know, they see, they kind of know Wes is not up to any good right now. They already know that. They knew it before, you know, they found out about him and, you know, Levi together. And plus, Annalise has already seen him with Nate. So she's already got Frank covering his bases. And so set him up with the drugs. And now it's like, let Wes find the money. But I'm like, there was, he found out about this key. And I'm like, why would Frank just leave that key laying around, you know, for no good reason? Unless he was trying to
see. He wouldn't.
Exactly.
Wow. It's like, Wes really thought he was running something. He really thought he was running game with Levi and Nate and everything like that. He thought he had a conspiracy going. And Annalise shut that whole shit down.
Yes.
In an episode.
Yeah. But it's like, all the goodwill that Wes built up with me last season, he's losing it, just totally losing it, because it's like everybody's saying he's directing all of his, you know, animosity, and the people he's trying to hurt are Annalise and Michaela. Well, maybe not trying to hurt them. Well, he's trying to hurt Annalise, but maybe he was not trying to hurt Michaela, but he was willing, you know, to let her, you know, get caught up with Levi.
Yeah. He was willing to let her be collateral damage.
Yeah.
Which is gross. And, he's not the puppy anymore, and I'm not sure if he ever really was.
Yeah.
He's a scheming little so-and-so.
We still don't know anything about Wes.
Yeah.
So,
I need to, so I think we need to see the case. Did they get all that money from a case that Annalise won or some what? I don't know. This is weird. This is the season where, you know, the kids are getting restless and Connor's trying to talk back, and Connor sabotaged a case of Annalise's.
Yeah.
And it's like all the kids are, you know, they're trying to talk back to the parents, and parents are shutting it down.
Oh my God, Connor! I don't know how this is happening, but it's getting to the point I'm liking Connor better than most of the other ones. Yo, he almost jacked Levi up. Was Levi came after Michaela? Connor stepped right up. Connor, of all people, Connor was the one to defend Michaela.
It's and like, after he spent most of season one making fun of her,
yeah,
belittling her,
yeah,
this is quite a turnaround.
I know, and he just, no, I mean, like, I just kind of had to respect that, though. He's like, don't you put your hands on her. I mean, and he meant that shit. And I'm like, ooh. It's like, this is why I need Jack Fallahy and Aja Naomi King to do, like, some sort of side thing like that, because they like each other.
I think you mean Thirst McGurst.
Yeah, Thirst McGurst. I'm like, they, oh my God, they would be so great on screen just together, two of them. But yeah, plus also, I just love, you know, that moment anyway, because I'm already pretty protective of Michaela anyway, because there's just so much of, like, I understand where she's coming from, and so I'm just glad to see somebody just kind of step up and, like, don't touch, because I was just really mad, you know, to know that she's someone, like, at this point in her life, she does want, you know, her own, she's trying to get, like, these things in her life, and one of the things that, you know, that they were showing with her this season, she's trying to get, you know, her own sexuality and her own sexual pleasure, and she's trying to work toward that, and so to find out that the guy that she was with was, you know, fucking with her like that, that has to be a really, you know, really horrible thing. And I'm like I said, I'm really protective of her, and so I'm glad that now she knows, you know, who this is, you know, what this is. And,
I hope she beats Wes's ass for it.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to beat his ass for it.
Yeah,
sorry, Wes.
She and Connor can beat his ass.
Tag team, yeah.
Yep.
I don't care. Wes needs to, yeah.
Yeah.
He was wrong for that. I mean, the woman, Michaela's already been manipulated enough by dudes in this arena of her life for it to for him to let it happen again.
See, this is why I need her and Annalise to connect some more.
I'm surprised Connor is still alive, though, after sabotaging one of her cases.
I know, right?
I mean, he was right, but still, you don't do that to Annalise Keating.
Connor better sleep with one eye open. Connor better sleep with one eye open for the rest of his life.
He better stay woke, yeah. He better stay woke.
Yep.
Connor. Yeah, and Annalise's, you know, the rose has lost its bloom with Wes. I don't think she's... You know, she's sigh-eyeing the fuck out of him, too. And he better sleep with one eye open, too. Because, you know, she's hip to your games. She knows you're not the puppy that you make yourself out to be.
Yeah.
And she will shut you down.
Yep. And she will use Frank to do it.
Oh, God.
Oh my God, Frank.
He is that do dirt dude who is down to do dirt anytime. Oh, like, yeah. Whatever you want. What does Annalise have on him?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. Frank, he seems to know some law stuff, but I don't know exactly what he knows. It's like he knows enough law to get around it.
Basically, he knows, yeah.
It's like he knows how to do the dirt and he knows how to get away with it. And I'm like, but I'm totally here for that. I am so here for that.
Oh boy. That's Enda's Corner on Twitter. That is not me. That's all Enda's Corner. She likes these shady characters, these shady, dirty characters.
All I'm saying, if I need some dirt done, I know who to call.
Yeah.
I can get my dirt, then I can get my broke back. My back broke, okay.
Gee, oh my God.
but you saw that, right?
Oh my God.
You saw it.
Yeah, I couldn't help but. He had that big ass scene. He was tossing her every which way.
Ooh, yes he was.
Lord.
Okay. He is like the only one that even gets close to what Nate does.
I would rather have seen Nate and Annalise.
But Nate is mad. Now, yeah. Nate ain't giving us, you know, that view of that back right now. And I'm like, okay, look, you need to either go ahead and forgive Annalise or just have, like, angry sex with her.
Oh, God. Anyway.
just have angry sex with her one more time. Like, okay, now I'm done with you. I'm like, but as long as I get that one last time.
Nah. He won't. No, that's like potato. That's like Lay's potato chips. We can't just have one.
But it's like the thing is though. I'm still not sure if Nate is still really is actually trying to be done with her, or if he's still conflicted. Because I'm like, because I think it does kind of seem like he's still just kind of like stringing her along a bit until he can, you know, get her. Because he still seems to want revenge. But I'm like, maybe he still has feelings. I don't know.
I don't know what anybody's doing anymore. They're all running games. They're all lying to each other. And I can't keep it straight. I was so confused.
Yeah.
I watched the last episode 2 times. I still can't really tell you what the fuck happened. This show is like, I don't know. It started the season snatching my edges, and now I can't grow new ones.
Yeah, I'm like, there's no more edges to snatch.
Now it's just confusing me.
We're not even halfway through.
This is scary.
Yeah, but I'm like...
And the case is just getting The Habstall case is just getting worse and worse. You know, the testimony somehow stayed in.
Mm-hmm.
The biased testimony somehow stayed in because the audio that Oliver hacked from the police department was dismissed, and they're going to look into that, which means he might get caught, he might not.
Oh, they better not do this to Oliver.
Yeah, he's got enough to deal with. It's just there are a lot of plates in the air, and goodness, they're going to crash really hard really soon. And maybe when they do, some of this shit will finally make sense. But until then, I'll just be watching this show and scratching my head and trying to work out this flowchart of lies, because I need one to figure out why Bonnie is lying about the murder she didn't do instead of trying to cover up the one that she did. And I
I don't know. I don't know.
And why Frank still hasn't told Annalise about Lila. And I don't understand. I don't understand anything. But it better come clear soon, because I don't like being this far in the dark.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, you can't trust anybody on this show. Nobody has clear intentions. I'm not even looking for good intentions. I'm just looking for clear intentions that I can freaking understand.
I just don't know anymore. Cause it's like I can't even read Annalise anymore. I'm like, is she really just falling apart, or is she still playing with people? I just don't know anymore.
I don't either. I can't. I don't think I've ever been able to really read her, but now even less so. So
yeah. So like,
but it looks like Michaela dropped Levi really soon after and moved on to that Habstall brother, which
Caleb.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Upgrade.
I'm like, okay.
Upgrade.
I'm like, yeah. Yeah. Very much so an upgrade.
So get it.
Right.
But
he might be a murderer, but you know, hey.
I'm like the girl went and proved that she's a virgin, and I'm like, so that doesn't mean
ew.
They didn't get down. Yeah,
ew.
One, ew. One,
like, two,
I mean, what kind of test proves that?
Yeah, and people, like people say, you can't prove a tongue.
You can't. Yeah, you can't test throats.
Yep, exactly.
Or. I mean, I guess you could, Lord, I don't even, anyway, let your minds wander to where they're wandering, I mean, you could probably test the other thing, but why?
And like also everybody else is saying, sports can also break a hymen too, like all that activity can break a hymen, so that doesn't mean anything. It really does not mean anything at all.
I mean, the fact that you even went to take a test and are trying to use that as proof means that the overwhelming consensus is that you're doing your brother. And no test is gonna be able to take that out of their minds now.
Yep. Also, I mean, not necessarily just a sexual thing either, if it looks like you're just in love with them. I mean, come on. Doesn't necessarily have to do with, you know, did you have sex with them or not.
So, the show is a mess.
I know. I mean, I kind of like the messy, but it's like, still, it's like, I'm just like, what is even going on now?
It is really messy. It is super messy. So it is super messy this season. I can't keep it all straight. So that is your How to Get Away with Murder recap.
Yeah.
Which was just as messy as the show. Enjoy. Yeah. And check out Inda's live tweets of the show on Thursday nights. And that's it. And we'll, I guess if we want to do talk about the print, we should talk about Detective Strong back.
Billy Brown.
Bless him.
Yes, because he is blessed.
Yes, two hands.
Yes.
Two hands. I guess we ought to explain it if we're going to feature him.
Yes.
Well, when we say two hands, it's because of the scene last season where Nate is taken to prison because he's framed for Sam's murder. And he's asked to undress and, you know, prepare for all of these cavity searches and stuff like that. And then he's showered down.
Yeah.
And he's you know, asked to hold his jewels. And it takes two hands. Everybody ain't able. Some people, you know, for a lot of people, it probably only takes one hand to, you know, but for him, it took two. And, you know, Inda and I picked up on that. maybe because we spend an inordinate amount of time staring at gift sets of that scene. But,
oh, man. But it's like, I feel slightly slimy. Considering the context, but it's like still, like, bruh.
Two hands. Also, them thighs. Maybe we should have a separate segment for them thighs, because.
Thighs.
And I'm like, yummy.
I'm like, I would let you crush me.
At Inda's Corner on Twitter.
Like,
this
what?
Is the thoughts expressed by Inda Lorne are not. She don't speak for me, not all the time, especially not about that. Okay, but yeah, we miss the seeing Detective Strong back in his element, which is. Shirtless.
I know. Got so much half-naked Billy Brown last season, and it was glorious.
Yes, I appreciated it very much, and we need it in season two.
Bring us back to your former glory. We need
it. Yes.
Show Annalise what she been missing.
Yes, Lord. She been missing it. That's why she can't stop coming to see you.
Exactly, bro.
And now you got that beat cop uniform on.
Mm-hmm.
We can do some things.
Play bad cop.
Oh, God. At Inda's Corner. At Inda's Corner.
Look, we're enjoying Charlie Weber right now. We really are, but I'm like, it just does not compare.
To Detective Strongback.
Okay. Does
who's,
not.
I guess, Officer Strongback now. Because he got demoted, but, and he took that job, finally. He said he wasn't going to take that job, but he finally took it, I guess. You know? Brother's got to eat. And, still messed up how Annalise framed him. There had to be another way to do that. But, I just need to figure out whether he's over it and wants Annalise back. I think there had to be some reason why he was outside of her house when Eve was leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Was he coming by to say, what was he coming by for? Was he just tailing her because?
Oh, no.
Or because he wanted to get that old thing back? But anyways, that's we already did our recap.
Yeah.
This now it's time for This Week in Net Print. Sorry. Tangent. This is how this show takes over our minds. Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, we need more of that print in season two.
Yes. That print, that back, all of it.
Ooh, he's just a good guy. That voice.
God, Viola Davis is like the luckiest freaking woman.
Yes. Got all that. Ooh. Mm. Ooh. Ooh. From the first episode.
Yes.
Bless. Bless, bless, bless. Anyway, so we want to thank you, Billy Brown, for all that you do and all the eye candy that you provide. And, you know, hope you stay around.
Yes.
And, you know, let Annalise know what's up.
Yep. Oh, but yeah, I still gotta figure out how he's working with the Scooby-Doo gang, and they all know now, but anyway.
See, yeah, that's another mystery. Oh my gosh, my head, it's gonna explode.
Yep.
Woman is vocab.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so today's woman's vocab word is accountability. Accountability simply means expectations for taking responsibility for one's own actions. Accountability becomes murky where power dynamics are involved, with those in privileged positions often becoming reluctant to take responsibility for words or actions that harm marginalized people. This often comes in the form of using language that reinforces the curiarchy, with no attempt at understanding why such language is harmful and no attempt to stop harmful behaviors and language. And I hope I have not done that already.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Why this word this week? Is it based on anything that made you think of it, or?
I don't know. I think I was kind of thinking about who we could do, like, for Catch the Fade, but we didn't do that. And,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
Well, you know, Raven Simone can catch the fade. Who else has been popping off at the mouth without any thought?
Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, definitely. Ellen DeGeneres, sad to say.
Yep.
None of those people really want to be accountable for their words and actions, even when they hurt people.
Yeah.
Just blatantly hurt marginalized people. And Ellen's example. All of those can catch the fade. So, thank you for the woman is vocab, and we'll move on to our Black Girl Commandments, which is, thou shalt tell your own stories. Don't rely on anyone to tell them for you.
Yeah. Amen, amen, amen.
So, take us out, Inda.
Alright, so we hope you enjoyed this episode of Black Girl Squee. If you want to contact either of us, you can catch us on Twitter at Black Girl Squee. You can catch us individually. I am at Ender's Corner, and Dee Dee is at Dust Daughter. If you want to follow her, I think you have to be approved. You can also find us on Tumblr at blackgirlsquee.tumblr.com. You can email us at blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. You can also find us on iTunes, and if you catch us there, please leave us a review. We like iTunes reviews. So
yes.
Yay. Yeah. Alright, so until next time, bye!
Bye!
Yeah.
Damn it, Didi.
You hadn't seen that one?
Yeah, but I'm like, why am I looking at it now? It's staring at me.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, what is his deal?
Girl.
It's
the pinstripe suits. What was he?
Those look like leggings. Those didn't look like slacks. They look like freaking leggings.
Straight suits, and I'm like, bruh.
They were so freaking tight.
It's like they say he's not even being subtle anymore. He just, like, dude, go do some porn. You want to show us this badly? Just, we will follow you. You have a built-in audience who wants to see this shit.
I mean, damn, it's like he's trying to bust out.
I'm like, are you, like, always in a state of excitement, or...
I don't see any kittens around. Why would he?
He's thinking about it. Oh, God.
And, you know, the tie that's askew, that's really not helping.
Oh, he does this shit on purpose.
He's terrible. Terrible. It's like below the end of his zippers, and it's like creasing his pants. I need to know what's going on. I have never been so curious about what's going on.
He wants us to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, dude, we need to find you one of those damn artsy NC-17 directors who just wants to make the next great film about whatever white dude exploring his sexuality does, and just get you a full frontal. Michael Winterbottom does that.
Who did The Libertine?
Shit, I don't know. I mean, The Libertine was kind of...
It could have been more, but Johnny Depp was old.
Yeah, but it's like...
Because that would totally be the role.
Yeah. Okay. Libertine was Lawrence Dunmore. Shit, we just need to find him Neil Jordan. Neil Jordan would definitely put him in a full frontal role.
Yeah, who did all of Ewan's? Or most of Ewan's?
Oh, shit. I know one, but I don't think he's alive anymore. Peter Greenaway.
Oh.
Did The Pillow Book.
Oh, right.
Oh, but this last one he did, what was it? Young Adam, was it called? Wait a minute. Ewan McGregor's going to be in a film called Porno.
He stopped trying to do the art movies, huh? He just went straight for it, huh? Okay. All right. So you know who needs to be in that movie, then.
I'm sorry.
We need to get a hold of Luke. And be like, your client needs to be a part of this movie.
Oh, man.
Because he's threatening to be the new Dirk Diggler in these tight-ass pants.
I'm sorry, that just made me laugh. Oh shit, who did Velvet Goldmine? Todd Haynes! Put him in a Todd Haynes film. If he's in a Todd Haynes film, he'll be gay and naked. I have nothing against either one of that.
You just want to see somebody getting their back broke. Getting it blown out.
I'll live vicariously through you.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Look, there's a reason I actually watched that scene over and over with Howard Charles and that dude in that really confusing ass film that kind of makes no sense, but hey.
I don't need to know why. That's between you and your God.
Between me and my threesome God.
Yeah. Lord.
And I'm going to put it this way. Tom Hardy, I wasn't looking for it, but I've seen him full frontal already.
You know, wow.
I didn't know it was going to be like that, but...
And the verdict is...
Enough.
Okay.
Verdict is enough.
Mm-hmm.
He's about average, you know.
Hey, not mad.
No. Not
I don't. Average. I don't need 10.
No, because 10 might... I don't... Yeah, 10 might
break me.
Damage. 10 might do some damage, but you know, about average, they get right where they're supposed to be.
Lord have mercy, Jesus.
But they do.
Oh my God. Okay. So how much do you think Tom's working with?
Tom's working with porn star average.
Which is like 10.
Yeah, about 9-10. That's porn star average.
That's too much.
Well, you gotta work with it.
Just gotta adjust.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Breathe through it.
Yeah.
Okay, which... No. Wait. And we're talking about the same Tom right here, right?
Oh, you're talking about... Yeah, we're talking about Hiddlesboo.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Hiddlesboo was above average. Above the average man. He's porn star average, which is bigger than the average man.
Yes. Why does he wear it? He knows that the thing is putting a dent in all of his, nicely pressed and suits. And
he's just proud. He's just really proud. If you was a dude and you was packing that too, you would be proud as well. That's how dudes are.
Wow, he's just... And look at his little face. His little innocent smile when he's so far from innocent.
He ain't innocent. He just knows how to play that role.
Yeah.
Just stay fucking with us.
I know. I wonder if an interviewer has ever just said, look, what's up with these pants? Somebody needs to press him on the print.
Please, I bet if somebody was like, look, deal, you will deal.
Yeah. And we're trying to deal, but...
Oh, yeah. He's like, I got an anaconda right here.
Oh, my God. What if he used that as a weapon on Skull Island? Okay, Tom, for this scene, we need you to whip your dick out and spin it like a helicopter. And that's how we're gonna fight King Kong. Ready? Ready!
Tim and I have King Kong!
King Kong ain't got shit on me! He'd be whipping it so fast, he would cause a dicknado.
Oh, God, the cock-a-cane.
That just makes me think of candy cane before I think of... Oh, never mind.
But cock-a-cane is perfect for helicopter dick, though.